Space 10 is a research and design lab on a mission to create a better everyday life for people and the planet. Usually, we're based in Copenhagen, Denmark. But today, we're coming to you from Mexico City. We're here hosting a two-week pop-up, and we have a big question. What constitutes good design in our day and age? Each day, Space 10 Radio will bring you conversations with creatives, designers, thought leaders, and artists who are joining us on stage here in Mexico City. Our mission? To unfold how design and technology can help us create better futures. Welcome! I'm here joined by Simon Caspersen, the co-founder of Space 10, Luis Urculo from Niños Héroes, and Mario Ballesteros, who is a curator, editor, and researcher. Welcome, guys. I'm really happy to be here and to get a chance to talk to you before the big event. And so I'm going to be asking a couple of questions. They are targeted for a specific person, but if someone wants to jump in, just please go ahead and jump in so that we can have like a little group chat. But if not, you know, it's perfect either way. Yeah. So, Simon, welcome to Mexico.
Thank you.
It's really good that you're here and it that the event is going to be happening here. We're so happy to have this. It's going to be a two-week pop-up, which is going to explore what constitutes good design in this day and age. It's a very broad topic, I would say even ambitious, but hey, I would really like to know what is the motivation behind this theme that you chose and that's going to be like the topic for these 2 weeks.
Yeah, for sure. I met a lovely man this morning who where I just explained what we were doing here, and he was like, it sounds like a dream. And so yeah, you're right, it's quite a broad topic. But I mean, we're stoked to be here. Mexico City's energy, diversity, and creative scene is just perfect, we think, for setting up here to challenge our own perspectives, to really explore this topic. And yeah, we're here because we think it's time to redefine what constitutes good design in this day and age. And the pop-up is actually titled Beyond Human-Centered Design, because we want to explore sort of the stepping stones towards a more regenerative tomorrow. And human-centered design has obviously been such a important paradigm for humanity, and has for good reason sort of become the dominant school of thought in every major design school out there. However, we can also see that only two centuries have passed since the onset of the Industrial Revolution, and the climate is changing, rising sea levels. We are approaching the biggest ecological crisis in 65 million years, and UN has sort of dubbed it Code Red for humanity. Mm-hmm. So maybe it's also time to see how do we design ourselves out of this mess. And that's really why we're here. We don't have all the answers. And we're really here to learn. And yeah, what we want to explore is what comes next. So we're really here to explore how can we both sort of use design as a force to tackle the climate crisis, and also look at how can we tackle the rising inequalities that we see in societies around the world. So definitely an ambitious topic for it. And we have no ambitions of coming out with the master plan as such. But I think it's a really important conversation to have. And that's why we're here, to learn, to discuss, and to listen.
It sounds awesome. So, Mario, building up on a bit of what Simon said, how do you see the role of design in this day and age? Like, can design actually be a powerful tool of change when we're talking about these like super complex issues that seem at some points too big to tackle, like climate change and the climate emergency? Like, is design up for the job?
I mean, I don't think anyone is up for the job by themselves. I don't think design necessarily is a better tool for change than any other thing, art or language or science. Or I think every sort of human endeavor contributes to change. What I do think design has that maybe some other disciplines don't is this like crazy ambition that Simon was mentioning before. And also, I think it's there's a more open spirit, receptive spirit. And I do think that designers are better equipped than some other professionals to deal with complex, let's say, multi-focus problems and issues and questions. And I really like the perspective that Space 10 is bringing to these questions of really thinking of them as conversations and questions. It's not about solutions, which I love, which is, I think, sometimes difficult for designers to not think of like problem solution. And thinking about these as conversations and questions and how you really set up the discussion or the way we, the perspective of the challenges that lie ahead, I think that's very intelligent and smart. And I'm excited to be part of that conversation.
Excellent. And so, Luis, you and your team from Niños Héroes have actually been collaborating with Space 10 on the spatial design of this pop-up, which is cool, like the design of the design talks. This explores, in a way, what constitutes good design on this day and age. And how does this theme influence what you did with the space? And how do you design a collaborative platform? Because it has this particular like details and issues.
It had like this difficult part of being the visual part of the event, no? And having this also this theme. And so we just started working, having conversations, which for me, it's the best way to design. So going back and forth between Space 10 and our team, we started to think about that the project had to create a liquid image, something that was not fixed. That so these gave the shape of a game, like thinking of the democracy into the idea of design. So at the end, this project is like a game, like a board game that we design many pieces. So then once we finish with the pieces, we gave the pieces to Space 10, and now they play around with the pieces. So every time they want to design like a workshop or dinner party or conference, whatever, it can change. So the limits of the space configuration and also the image of the project is endless, depending on the possibilities, which is something so basic and so human, which is when you're a kid, you're always playing and inventing like new ideas. So this idea of democracy, it was very present on this probably like idea of what can we add to design. And also there was this other topic that we discussed with Space 10, which is what is the second life of this project? And it was always there. And many decisions that we made in the project were done with this topic, for example, like the boards we use for the tables, they are boards that we didn't waste any piece. So they are the boards just like ready-made as they come from the factory. So we don't have any waste, or all the furniture that we have in the office, it's screw, like we didn't use any glue. So anytime you want to dismantle any of the furniture from the office, you can just use the pieces from the office and make like a kitchen, whatever, which is something that we've done already in other projects, like in my studio. Like my bedroom in Spain is made out of a pavilion that we made in a fair many years ago. So I think it's about thinking about second life and bringing like a more organic and open image to projects rather than a fixed image.
I love that when I hear you three guys speak, I can identify like certain like common points, even if we're talking about the design of the design pop-up or like actually the role of design in the incoming future of mankind. I mean, and it's like the theme of change and adaptability and also conversation and flexibility, which I think are like very key issues in what you guys are trying to achieve. I don't know how you feel about it, but it seems to me that it's very clear. Like all of you have that very much in mind. And I think that it's a fundamental thing, thinking that the world has changed a lot in these 200 years from when design started, and we have to change through with the times, but also like having the ability to adapt to what the world is offering and facing, and that the way to do it is through conversations and through exchanging viewpoints with others to see which is the best way to do it, and with, of course, like the least waste possible, and trying to give things another life beyond their first use and whatnot. But do you feel these are the topics that we should be focusing on? Or is it just my perception of what you guys just said?
I mean, just to also to compliment Louis and his team as well, I think what was really interesting was that they were not coming with the spatial design of the place as a product. Mm-hmm. It's like a platform. And not only that, like this democratic design approach, where we are coming with our Scandinavian design aesthetics from Copenhagen, and suddenly we have to make a home here in Mexico City. And how do you blend that? How do we stay true to who we are, as well as inviting in Mexico City? And Louis had this great way of really inviting Mexico City in to the design as well. I think Louis, you should talk about it, but the point is just that how do we think of design much more as a platform, as the system that enable us to do things, rather than a finished product in some, we take some resources, we make something, then we use it, and then we waste it. How do we create something that is flexible, adaptable, that we can always repurpose? And I think you and your team have done a great job in enabling that for us. But yeah, please share a little bit on for people who can't actually see the space in how Mexico City has been merged with Scandinavian design aesthetics.
Well, it's I think it's a mix, and we also didn't we try to make things very soft, like very subtle. But we also wanted to take the opportunity to make some glimpses or reflections about the city of Mexico into the space. And they were built into, sometimes they were just details or just colors or movement. So there were many topics in the project. Like, for example, one of the things that defines the space is these curtains that are very massive, like huge scale. And they are very colorful, and this comes from how in the local market in Tianguis, the markets are, they have the same spirit as this event. They are pop up. They make a market and then they disappear. So the city, especially markets in the city, they have the same spirit of things that happen temporary and then they disappear. And you go nighttime and nothing happened. And probably if you're not from that neighborhood, you will never imagine there's a market. So then how can we learn from that, and then some elements from those events can happen here. So these fabrics, which are very light, they come from these taco places or places where they sell vegetables that only with a plastic, they cover space and then define space. So translating spaces through materials. So then we made these huge curtains that they have some colors, but they are kind of washed. So they are like, they start to disappear. We had also this idea of fade. So the curtains fade into transparent, and then they come again alive. So they are always in the space, but they are about to disappear. They are never staying. Like we never have the image of this is going to stay. So this is an example of using the rocks, which is something that I really love, that about making solutions with things that you have around. So pieces of rocks or wood to finish the structures in many spaces. It's something that is like a common intelligent detail in architecture. And for me, it's a detail. And so then this is something that we use in many of the pieces of furniture that we had the rocks to balance and to give the settle into the ground of many of the elements from the space. And then the carts we have, like all the furniture, it has wheels, so everything can move, and so it has this connection with the city somehow, but also tries to make a bridge with the identity from Space 10 in some of the, maybe the colors, or that things are not like the way that things are made here. And so I think it's a mix between two different spaces, and they make a conversation. They don't try to make a statement, like fix a statement. I think they are kind of, again, liquid, and they are sometimes you don't know where ends the Scandinavian and starts the Mexican.
I will, like, honestly never look at a tianguis in the same way again. It was like, my mind is blown. I've never noticed that. Yes, it's unbelievable.
There's so much architecture there, yeah.
Yeah, and such practicity. It's like really insanely practical.
Because it's about efficiency.
Yeah.
Efficiency and the lowest amount of resources.
Economy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is economy. So it's low resources and high efficiency. And it's beautiful how many elements you can find there. And also popular architecture, I think, is about that, which is, for me, the greatest reference.
Wow. Okay, so, Mario, you have been a key part of curating the program that's going to be presenting 45 speakers who are going to explore like everything from materials to new food systems to architecture and advanced technologies to restoring our natural ecosystems and the future role of the designer, which we talked a bit about here. What can the audience and should the audience expect from this program? And what are you personally looking forward to? Because since you were curating the stuff, it's really interesting to see what you're like looking forward to.
I mean, it definitely was a daunting task, I have to say, like thinking of this very specific moment we're at, the context of Mexico City, specifically, and how it relates to these sort of global questions. But I think that thinking of putting together a group of people, there was this like critical optimism, I want to say. I'm not necessarily an optimist. It's very difficult to be an optimist at this time in age. But I do think that lots of the people that are going to be involved in the project have been holding on to this optimism for a really long time. Lots of the initiatives have been around for over 10 years. People like Isla Urbana, like different people that have been engaged in really trying to redefine how design is practiced, thought of, and how it sort of impacts a very specific context, like the context of Mexico, which is both very much ingrained in like global dynamics, but also very unique in how it lands. So I'm excited to see where these people are at after various, you know, years of trying to move forward in their projects. And I do think that we're going to be surprised with these learnings of what's difficult, what's been positive, how the challenges have changed over the years. So I would say that is my expectations, this sort of critical optimism. And I think it's a very important time also it's easy to give up at this point. So I do think that these conversations help people keep moving forward. In terms of the program, it's super diverse. I think it's going to be very different from what people would expect from a design event. There's not that many designers, I think, like speaking, which is going to be nice. And I think that also reflects like the conditions in Mexico, like how, because we talk a lot about this, how design impacts everything and how it's enmeshed in everything. But here it's very raw. You can see it, like Luis just mentioned, like from the tianguis to like community politics to like every aspect of life is very explicit in Mexico. So I think that it was relatively easy to pick from these very diverse backgrounds and challenges and bring people to the table. So I think bringing all these diverse positions to the table is going, for me, that's the most exciting part. It's not like a specific talk. I think there will be something for everyone in the program, but I really do think that the sum of the parts is going to be the most interesting, juicy, and hopefully impactful product from the pop-up.
Yeah, and the interdisciplinary thing is it's key for what you guys are trying to achieve. I think there is no other way to get there.
Yeah, and it's also like that diversity is very honest, I think, in terms of Mexico, like food and how it relates to sort of rural context or urban context, diversity and cultural diversity, identity. I mean, there's all these issues that are so present in how everyday life is evolving here. And I think it's going to be nice also to see how that resonates with what Space 10, their focus, their sort of perspective brings. So it's also going to see, it's going to be very interesting to see how that reflects upon that conversation that's happening elsewhere.
So Simon, this is awesome because you work in close contact with research and design for one of the biggest and most popular brands of design products around the world, and it's really cool to be getting a bit of input on how that works actually, because you get to see the finished products, but you never think you'd get to see where they come from, and you'd think that people that work on this kind of design should be keeping it to themselves, and it's like, oh, it's a professional secret, and we have to because it's a brand and it's a business and whatnot. But you're actually going to be on stage sharing like parts of your work, which I think is really cool, because at the end of the day, what people can learn from that experience is really valuable. And
hopefully,
yeah. But there's a lot of innovation that people, like some people, would maybe think that shouldn't be like openly shared.
Yeah, for sure. That's definitely the case. Also, when we are lucky to visit other people working with innovation elsewhere, I can tell you, especially in London, Silicon Valley, places like that, there's a lot of fingerprint scanners and documents that needs to be signed before you can use the bathroom. So, but we have always taken a second approach, or a different approach at Space 10, which is actually to believe in collaboration over competition. To really say, okay, if we actually want to innovate, then it's much more of a creative exercise than a technical one, which means it's all about shifting perspective. And in order to shift perspectives, we can't be people in a box trying to think outside the box. So for us, it has always been important to share our work early. Like, we believe that the longer we work in a vacuum, the more likely we are to fail. So we want to put our ideas out there and get challenged early on. But it's also key for us to actually engage with other thoughts, other perspectives, which means that we need to open up. Like, the conversation also we have here around how do we solve the climate crisis? How do we tackle that? How do we create more equitable societies? That's not the role of IKEA as a brand alone. That's a role that we as a society and as a global community have. Where can IKEA play their part? Where can others play their part? And therefore, for us, we like to say that we like to surround ourselves with people who are smarter than us, and that if we're the smartest person in the room, we're in the wrong room. And that's also a little bit the sort of the attitude of coming here. It's really to learn, to challenge our own perspectives, and to surround ourselves with people who can really ask some questions that makes us think. And ahead of this pop-up, then Andres Kolomaris. Oh, I'm so sorry about the pronunciation, but co-founder of IAM, a really, really dope creative studio that we have worked with a lot. He was participating in this video, and he was just like, when asked what constitutes good design, he was just like, hey, design doesn't exist. I would like to invite you to think that design doesn't exist. We can talk about it as a verb, designing. Then suddenly good designing is a series of decision making. And then suddenly we are back to some really evergreen values around solidarity, what is in the interest of the common good, how do we actually think about each decision that we make. And for me, that was like, shit, I'd actually not thought about it like that before. And that can be so defining for my way of thinking going forward. And hopefully some of the ideas and projects and research that we share can have a similar shift of perspective for someone else. So hopefully we can come together and inspire each other and challenge each other and provoke each other. And that's also the role we have with IKEA, is that you have been really good at designing furniture for 80 years, but your overall vision is to create a better everyday life for the many people. There's a lot of people out there, and maybe we can create a better everyday life through more than designing, distributing, and selling furniture. Maybe there are other ways that you can actually achieve this overall vision that have been guiding you for 80 years. Maybe there's more. Maybe there's a bigger role for you to play in the world. And that's basically why they have agreed to this crazy setup of having an independent research and design lab constantly challenging and provoking how they do things, and have asked us to re-envision what IKEA could be tomorrow. And that's why it's so exciting. But instead of starting with IKEA, we start with the world. We start with the many people. What are actually the real needs out there? And then hopefully we can come up with some solutions that IKEA can actually scale, because they have always been really good at making design democratic for the many. They came around after Second World War in Scandinavia, where nobody could afford home furnishing or at least good designs. But today we have bigger challenges than not being able to afford home furnishing. So could that spirit and that incredibly well-oiled machine and competences and skill sets that they have, could that be applied to other things? Are there other things that IKEA could help democratize for the many? And maybe through new business models, maybe by reinventing themselves. And that's why we are here, and why we share everything openly with the public, because of hopefully the public will share back.
That is awesome. I think that just by organizing this pop-up, you are playing a huge part in what you're aiming for. And I'm sure there are going to be a ton of like these like mind-blowing paradigm shifting moments throughout the pop-up, because I mean I've seen the names of the people that are coming, and it's like, wow, this is going to be like crazy interesting. And the interdisciplinary perspective is, I think, like basic for the goals you have set. And so that brings me to Luis. You actually come from a multidisciplinary creative studio, and what's your perspective? How do you see the advantages of bringing people from different backgrounds to a place where they're working together under one roof? How is that important in creative work?
For us, I think it's very important, because it's the only way to learn. On every project we try to achieve, we make things a little bit more difficult, but we always try to investigate or to explore a new technique or work with a different professional. And also, this is the only way to bring projects into a higher level of experience, but also as a result. No matter like if it looks good or not, but just the process, for me, it's sometimes more important than the final result. And in the process is the all the experiments you make, and there is where the collaborators in the projects are the key part. So depending on these projects, we work with in different fields, that it could be visual art or craftsmen, no? Like in the case of Mexico. And I think it's the most amazing opportunity and experience you can have working with these professionals and have these conversations. I think in design, it's a lot about conversation and thinking about the process as this talk that goes back and forth, and you learn a lot from these people. And I think it's for me, it's part of the identity of the studio, which is also like a very open crew of people that go back and forth, and this time I think we made a really big group of professionals, because there were many, many people involved.
I love the way that you see design as a conversation. I think it's a very interesting way to look at it, and an interesting approach, which takes me to Mario once again. And because you've been working for years in things that are related closely to design and architecture and material culture. I mean, as a curator and an editor and from an academic point of view. And so I'm guessing you have some sort of a, I'm not asking you for like a, yes, design is this and this and this and it's going here and here and here, but what is, how is design looking for you in its development? How do you think design is developing in recent years? And in light of everything you guys have talked about, like new problems and whatnot?
I mean, I think I would go back to the theme of the event, which I think hits the spot, like beyond human-centered design. That is like a radical invitation, you know, to, and it really encompasses, I think, all those relevant questions that for me surround the question of what is good design or good designing, as Simon mentioned. And it does have to do with this, like going beyond the industrial paradigm, the consumer-centered paradigm, even like this human-centered design, you know? We, like the common good goes beyond humans. I mean, there's no common good without common good for the environment or for climate or for nature or for... So I do think that that invitation is key, and it was a no-brainer for me when I ran the theme. So I do think it has to do with that, with going beyond these paradigms that aren't relevant anymore. And I think it's an urgent sort of task. And it's something that designers sometimes struggle with, especially because of education or how schools are set up. So kids, you know, they're learning what design was 50 years ago. They're not learning what it is today or can be today. So these moments are very, very important, I think, to the practice, and then also to go beyond the practice. You know, I think design is something that affects everyone all the time. It's a cliche, but it's true. So I do think that everyone should have a say. Everyone should be involved. Everyone should, you know, have a stance as to what represents good designing. So even if it's a small event, it's a small step in the right direction. And I don't have an answer, but I'm just excited to keep on being part of this questioning of where we need to move and how we can get there.
I'm sure a lot of interesting new questions are going to come out of the event, and I'm sure it's going to be fantastic. Just listening to you guys makes me like really excited to see where you guys get to. It's like, yes, I think it's good for you not to go in looking for answers and solutions, but I think a couple of them are maybe going to show up. So thank you. It has been amazing talking to you. Best of luck at the pop-up. I mean, you don't need it, I'm sure, but this has been really cool. Thank you for talking.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Me, and yeah, best of luck.
Thank you.
Gracias.